I am so glad you are with us today as we continue our series, Never Alone. Have you ever noticed there are some words that completely change your perspective? Maybe you read them or hear them. Maybe you even speak them. Whatever the case, they change you. Maybe they give you courage, or perhaps it's inspire passion, offer comfort, provide new direction, or maybe some much-needed correction. They just seem to transcend time, and they transcend situation, and they give you the truth that you need at the right moment. Last week, we started looking at some words of Scripture that have been changing men and women just like you and me since the very moment they were penned over 3,000 years ago. The 23rd Psalm is the world's best-known, most beloved poem. It's been engraved in the hearts of every generation from antiquity all the way through this modern era. Its words have blessed millions of classrooms and sick rooms. It's been quoted in hospitals and jails, homes, churches, open-air rallies, underground meetings. The words of the 23rd Psalm have been used in times of peace and in times of war. We all know that it's been whispered by the bedsides of sleepy children trying to give them some calm and peace. And it's been spoken as last words that many people have heard as they step from this life into eternity. It is by far the most memorized and memorialized passage in all of Scripture. It's only 55 words in the original Hebrew, but this 23rd Psalm, it seems to sum up all of our needs in life, and it reminds us that no matter what, no matter when, no matter where, we are never alone. Last week, we started unpacking the very first phrase of this psalm written by David. David, who was a shepherd who became a king. Now today, we're going to add the next couple of phrases to that first phrase, and we're going to continue to discover how these words change us right now in 2021. So I want to invite you to find in your Bible Psalm 23, or look here on the screen, and we're going to read the first couple of verses together in the first phrase of verse 3. So I want to invite you, wherever you are, just to read it out loud with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. Those words, they paint an amazing picture that even the most success-driven, highly motivated, off-the-charts, energy-filled person can appreciate. There's just something about green meadows and peaceful streams and enjoying refreshment and rest that just speaks to the deepest parts of us. I mean, we come away thinking, oh, I want that. I want to be renewed physically and emotionally and spiritually and relationally. I want that. We live in a pressure cooker kind of society, and so most of us would say, sign me up for that. Sign me up for green meadows and for peaceful streams. I'm all in for renewed strength and a restored soul. I don't need to take a Facebook poll. I don't need to phone a friend. I want what David is describing there. Well, I agree with you. I want what David is describing in these verses. But there's a truth that you and I need to embrace before we even can really begin to think about rest and green meadows and peaceful streams and renewed strength. And it's simply this truth. You can't get to the green meadows, and you can't get to the peaceful streams, you can't get to rest and renewal and all that good stuff without a good shepherd, the Lord being your shepherd. You can't experience the beauty of verses 2 and the first part of verse 3 unless you fully embrace verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. David just didn't throw these words together in haphazard fashion. He didn't just randomize them. No, they're put together on purpose this way because David knew that a good shepherd is the key to rest and renewal for the sheep. David is trying to help us understand that rest and renewal in our lives requires a declaration of dependence on the Good Shepherd. Now, last week, as we started the series, we were reminded that sheep cannot survive and flourish without a shepherd to guide them, to protect them, to care for them. And we discovered that in this psalm, we are the sheep. You and me, we are like sheep. We need a shepherd to follow. We need a shepherd to protect and care for us and guide us. And so David says, if you want rest and renewal and green meadows and peaceful streams, then you need to make a declaration of dependence. You are going to follow the Good Shepherd. And this Good Shepherd will hear you when you call out to Him. He will surround you with His love. He'll give you His Spirit to fill you and to guide you. And you can live life with the hope of heaven ahead of you if you follow this Good Shepherd. This Shepherd gives grace for every sin, direction for every turn. It gives you a light for every corner and an anchor for every storm. This Good Shepherd, says David, He will give you everything you need. So you declare dependence on the Good Shepherd and you pledge your allegiance to Him. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He was declaring, "The Lord will be my shepherd. My allegiance is to Him. My trust is in Him. This is the one I will follow." Dallas Willard, a wonderful author and theologian, has said that phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd," is a sentiment carved on tombstones more often than it's the reality written in our lives. Now, we know that's true, because so many of us live lives that are the complete opposite of what's described by David. We live lives that are filled with worry and are filled with exhaustion and being easily irritated and tired. The exact opposite of what David says will happen if we follow the Good Shepherd. We need a Good Shepherd. Because if we don't have a good shepherd to follow, then we wind up with a completely different Psalm 23. Author Max Lucado says it this way: if we don't follow the good shepherd, here's what the psalm might look like in our lives. We might say, "I am my own shepherd, and I am always in need. I stumble from store to store and shrink to shrink, seeking relief but never finding it. I creep through the valley of the shadow of death and fall apart. I fear everything from pesticides to power lines, and I'm starting to act like my mother. I go down to the weekly staff meeting and I am surrounded by my enemies. I go home and even my goldfish scowls at me. I anoint my headache with extra strength Tylenol and my Jack Daniels runneth over. Surely misery and misfortune will follow me, and I will live in self-doubt for the rest of my lonely life." Now, we all know people who are living just like that. But friends, I want to remind you, there's no reason to settle for that kind of existence when we have the promise of rest and refreshment and renewal from a good shepherd. You see, this shepherd is worthy of a declaration of dependence, and he's worthy of a pledge of allegiance, because this shepherd actually knows my needs, and he knows your needs. The author here says, "I'm going to follow the good shepherd, and I will lack nothing because he lets me rest in green meadows." You have here the perfect picture of God providing for us. There's an interesting thing about sheep. Because of their makeup, it's almost impossible for them to lay down unless some requirements have been met for them. They're very timid. They're very fearful. And so they refuse to lie down, no matter how beautiful the meadow, unless they are free from fear. They can't feel insecure or unsafe if they're going to lie down. They are social creatures. And so if they are in friction or in conflict with other sheep in the flock, they won't be able to lie down. So they need to be free from fear and free from friction with each other. If they feel like they are being pestered by bugs or mosquitoes, they will not lie down if they're being pestered. They have to be free from pests. And they will not lie down if they are still hungry. They have to have a full stomach, free from hunger. Now, I think it's really significant that to be at rest, these sheep have to sense some freedom from fear, from tension, from aggravation, and hunger. So when the psalmist says, He leads me to green pastures, and he makes me lie down in green pastures or a green meadow, he means that the sheep are satisfied. Their needs have been met. They have been provided for by the shepherd. And friends, you and I need to be reminded today that this good shepherd knows intimately our needs. He knows that we need to be free from fear and free from tension and aggravations and conflict and hunger for us to actually be able to rest and be refreshed. I love that this good shepherd, he knows us so intimately that he knows our external needs. He knows our need for food and clothing and provision and finances and all of the necessities of life. And the good shepherd has said, if you will follow me, if you will seek me, if you will put me first in your life, I'll make sure the external needs are taken care of. This good shepherd knows what our eternal needs are. We need a relationship with God. We need a good shepherd to follow. We need forgiveness. We need the hope of heaven and purpose for life. And he meets our eternal needs. And he meets our internal needs. We need things like love and purpose, friendship, peace. We need courage. The good shepherd knows how to meet all of those needs so that you and I can actually rest and be refreshed. Because he knows our needs so intimately, he can lead us to places of refreshment. And that's what it says when it says, he leads me beside peaceful streams. A peaceful stream is a place of refreshment. Sheep, they need water just like we do for life and for refreshment. But a sheep won't drink from water that is fast moving or turbulent or choppy. In fact, sheep have this thing called a wool coat. We've seen it. It stretches from their nose to their rump. And because that wool coat is so heavy, and they have no swimming capabilities, if they fall into water, it's a death sentence for a sheep. So they are very, very careful about water. And for them to be able to drink, it has to be a peaceful place. They have to feel at peace to be able to be refreshed and take in that life-giving water that they so desperately need. Now, David, from his years of being a shepherd, he knew how desperately sheep needed fresh, clean water. And he knew that they were dependent on the shepherd to help them find a good source. I've read that when sheep are thirsty, they become restless, and they will set out in search of water. But they will drink from almost any source of water that's calm. So if they don't find a good, clean, pure source of water, they end up drinking from like a polluted pothole. And they can pick up all sorts of germs and disease and internal parasites. They get desperate and they'll drink from anything that's peaceful. And I thought about that in my own life and in your life. When we find ourselves weary, when we find ourselves exhausted and tired and depleted, if we're not careful, we get desperate. And we try to fill the need and replenish ourselves through things that actually further deplete us instead of truly refreshing us. But God, He knows us so intimately. He knows what we truly need at the very core of our being. He knows where to lead us so we get the right kind of refreshment. I like what St. Augustine said when he wrote these words. He said, God, you have made us for yourself, and our souls are restless. They're searching till they find their rest in you. All of the world's religions and ideas and philosophies of worship, and they're all bound up in this insatiable thirst for God. And we know the world and our culture offers us all sorts of alternatives to try to refuel our soul and refresh our spirit. But we're restless. We're never truly replenished and refilled until we find our rest in the Good Shepherd. Because the Good Shepherd, he's the only one that can provide a continual source of strength. David wrote, he renews my strength. Words that we are very familiar with from the King James Version say, he restores my soul. I was so intrigued by a book written by Philip Keller called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. This man, Philip Keller, he was born to missionary parents in Kenya, and he had a really interesting career. He did lots of different jobs in his career path, one of which was raising sheep. And so he brought his experience to bear in this book, and he writes some really thought-provoking insights about verse 3, he renews my strength, or he restores my soul. Keller describes this passage of Scripture as being very, very accurate in regard to what happens to a sheep who is what's known as a cast sheep or a cast down sheep. Now, we talked about that briefly last week. This is the kind of sheep that winds up falling over on its back with its feet in the air. And that can happen for lots of different reasons. Sometimes a sheep is just really heavy from its coat, or it's overweight, or it slips and falls, or it decides to lay down in a little hollow or a depression in a field, and the ground flips the sheep over, and its feet are in the air, and it can get absolutely no traction. If a sheep is sort of upside down with its feet in the air, it has no way of getting itself right side up. So a cast sheep, as they're known, legs flailing in the air futilely, it's vulnerable to attack. It can't get food, it can't get water. And so this kind of sheep, it can perish, it can die in just a matter of hours unless the shepherd finds it and restores it, turns it right side up, restores it, renews it, puts it where it's supposed to be. You and I know that Scripture often speaks of people as being cast down or downcast. And we know that in our lives, we sometimes tumble into trenches and into the ditch, and we find ourselves upside down, unable to get any traction in life. And we need the Good Shepherd to reach us, to reposition us, to lift us, to get us right side up again. We need the Good Shepherd to renew us, to restore us. We need the words of Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. He renews my strength. The Hebrew verb there for renew or restore, it means to give vitality, to give strength, to reinvigorate, to revive. He restores my soul. He renews my strength. It means that this Good Shepherd, he doesn't just reform us, he restores us. He doesn't just camouflage the old, he restores the new. The master builder, he can pull out the original plan and he can restore us to the way that we are designed to live. He can restore the passion, he can restore the energy, he can restore the hope, he can restore our soul. Now Jesus, he restates this truth in such a powerful way when he's doing ministry here on earth. He wants us to know that this restoration, this renewal, this constant supply of new strength and restoration is what he came to do in our lives. Matthew wrote it down for us in chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. We're so familiar with these passages of Scripture. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." A little bit later on in that passage, he says, "You will in me find rest for your souls." In John chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." Jesus wants us to know that he is the embodiment of the good shepherd. He is the real good shepherd. And he desires to restore us in every way. Some of the ways he wants to restore us is he wants to restore us from sin. He actually laid his life down for us to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could experience forgiveness. He wants to restore us from sin. He wants to restore us from the stress of life, living without meaning, living overwhelmed. He wants to restore us through his Spirit. He wants to restore us from sorrow and pain and bring healing to our lives. You and I can go on and list all sorts of different ways that the Good Shepherd wants to restore us. Here's what we know. There is no area of our life where we are so depleted that through the power of Jesus we cannot be restored or renewed. Now think about those words one more time. Think about the transformational difference these words could make in our lives today. Would you read them with me one more time? "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, and he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength." Just think about it. There is a good shepherd, a God who knows us so intimately that he knows every need. And not only does he know every need, he can meet every need. He knows the rest that is required for us. He knows the green meadows we need to spend some time in and the peaceful streams we need to drink from. He knows how to renew our strength and restore our soul. Jesus lived, died, and rose again so that you and I can be renewed and restored. So could I ask you today, do you find yourself depleted or weary? Do you find yourself empty in some area? The Good Shepherd, Jesus, he offers us renewal and restoration. And there's some great news. The renewal and restoration that's offered to us in Psalm 23 and offered to us by Jesus, it begins and ends with the Good Shepherd. All we have to do is open our heart and open our life and receive it. We have to make a declaration of dependence. "I need a shepherd to follow, and this is the one I'm going to follow." We have to make a pledge of allegiance that we will follow and trust him. And that first step positions us to experience the refreshment, renewal, and restoration that he offers. So if you find yourself empty or depleted or needing rest, have you made a declaration of dependence and have you pledged your allegiance to the Good Shepherd? And if you have, maybe it's just time for you and me to be really honest with ourselves and with God, the Good Shepherd, and just say, "God, I find myself empty in this area and I desperately need refreshment. This is the spot in my life." Some of us will say, "God already needs. Why does he need for me to tell him?" Well, you and I often need the honesty to be able to say it to God. We need to be honest. We need to define the issue so we can experience restoration and healing. The fact that Jesus cares, the Good Shepherd cares, and he's promised to meet the need, it ought to make us courageous enough to admit our need and to ask him for this promise to be real for us today. Would you be willing just to pray that prayer? God, I'm asking for this promise of rest and renewal and refreshment to be real in my life today. I guarantee you that if you pray that prayer, if you open your heart in that way, the words, the promise will change you. Let me pray for you. God, we are so grateful that you give us the encouragement that we need in this psalm and throughout Scripture to be people who know who to follow, the Good Shepherd. We don't have to guess who's going to lead us in the right direction. We know who's going to lead us in the right direction. And so I pray that you would help us today to make a declaration of dependence, that we are going to follow you and we are going to trust you, believing that in you, as we follow you, that you will meet the needs of our life. You're a good shepherd and you know our needs. You know how to meet our needs. And Jesus, I pray that as we open our hearts to you, that we would find the renewal and refreshment and restoration that we need on this day. Jesus, I pray that the promise of refreshment and renewed strength and a restored soul would be real for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.